The reason this works is because it's allowing us to eat modern farmed foods that don't exist in nature, in a kitchen that didn't exist in nature, and enjoy that whole process and remain healthy by replicating the simplicity of the way the food enters the body, gets digested, and metabolized. Okay, here we go. Welcome back to another episode. My name is Mike Perrine. This is the Everyday Detox Podcast, and I think this is the first podcast of 2024. I may have released one back in January. I don't remember when the last one came out, but there's been a bit of a delay because we had another baby in 2023, and I sort of neglected my books because I was obviously busy with two younger children, and I have an older child as well. But the young ones take a lot of our time. And when it came time for tax time at the beginning of the year, things were a bit of a shit show and they needed to be sorted. And now they are sorted. And now here we are and we are back. If you want to support this podcast, please drop down into the show notes or the description and check out Velasta Astaxanthin, the most powerful and potent antioxidant you can take in supplement form. I did a full podcast with Sam Shepard. If you've not seen that one, Sam Shepard is the developer. By all means, check that one out. It's one of the best podcasts I've ever done. You can also visit us at Everyday Detox Academy if you are interested in doing a deep dive on this work and the concepts, the practices, the principles that I discuss in this podcast. And you can get a discount by also dropping down into the description or show notes. And you can get a discount on any of the masterclasses, but also the masterclass bundle, where we put two masterclasses together already at a discount and then get another discount when you use the discount code. So drop down into the show notes, check those out. It greatly helps the podcast, and I think you'll find them extremely valuable. In this episode, I sit down with my colleague in the cleansing life, Alana Sutcher, and she operates and lives back in my hometown of New York City. She's a culinary health coach and a chef, and she really did some deep work on herself where she elevated her mental health and worked through some pretty serious anxiety with transcendental meditation. And then she completely fixed her gut health with the principles of food combining. You may have heard me talk about these things. I know I've talked about them on the podcast, definitely talk about them on the Q&As on social media. But food combining is something we use for a variety of reasons. A lot of the time we're using it to eliminate bloating, elevate energy, and what it's doing, and it's a very simple process. But what we're doing by specifically working with the combination of foods that we eat in a particular meal is we're simplifying what a natural diet would look like. A lot of our culinary traditions put everything together in the meal. When we think about like Thanksgiving dinner, people falling asleep, drooling on themselves, you know, watching football, sitting in front of a television while they're completely unconscious. You know, that is from the sort of indulgence, you know, overindulgent eating of the day, the celebration of the day. But it's also because of all the things we have, fats and proteins and carbohydrates and sugars. And we have all this stuff just sitting in the cauldron of the belly, fermenting and putrefying and not digesting very efficiently and creating a tremendous demand on the body. So this was such a powerful experience for Alana, who finally fixed a lot of her gut issues just with these principles, that she developed a company, a food service business that provides properly combined meals. And that's one of the ways that she makes her living in New York, as well as doing education around that. So we decided to do a podcast. We sat down and she's basically in my community that I was in for, you know, 30 plus years in New York. So we know a lot of the same people, and we had a tremendous conversation. So let's jump right in. I really hope you enjoy it. That quote from Anthony Bourdain, you know, and people love to post it all over the place. Like, it's kind of, I guess it because it validates a story that a lot of us have as we struggle with the processed food and the indulgent cultural foods and our food addictions, where he says, I think, let me see if I can get it right. He said, the body is not a temple. It's a roller coaster. Enjoy the ride, something like that. And I'm like, I appreciate I appreciate the spirit of that, but it's so not true. You know what I mean? It is so nice. The body is such an absolute sacred miracle that is capable of taking us so far. You know, and you know, for me, I'm like, yes, I would love to. I'm a very indulgent person. I would love to do that. I would love to be like just carefree with everything that I do. But I also want to be here as long as I can for my younger children and things like that. And I also want to be more effective and live my life mission. And, you know, so it's a fine line between those two things, and they both sort of have validity, you know.
But I agree with something that you're quoting Anthony Bourdain, I'm quoting you. Something you said, and this is not a direct quote, but it's something I appreciated, and I have like totally, because you know you are a chef, or you are a chef.
I would say I more identify with having had been a chef, because I'm so simple now that I cook for my family and that's it. But yeah, I was deep into that work. I want to nerd out with you on that in a little bit, but go ahead.
It's fun. So you said like, you know, I wouldn't be able to do basically like about cheat days. Like you wouldn't be able to like live this life if you weren't able to like replicate, you know, the ingredients and the taste and the flavors of like the things you liked before. Like you can do that, but with high quality ingredients, and like, you know, and there's a way to do it. And that I like really spoke to me, and I'm like, wait, yes, like that makes sense. Like,
look, like, you know, we've come this far as a culture. We're now based in agrarian society. Like, why can't we have it all? And by have it all, I just mean like as much as I appreciated having two oranges for breakfast today and the simplicity in that, sometimes I want Italian food, right? Like sometimes I do want to make like the most delicious, rich tomato sauce and put it on zucchini pasta or something, and like just really make this fantastic, amazing thing. Like sometimes I want that. Like, you know, I don't think return to nature has to be getting back to just picking fruit off of trees. You know, like, yes, we can celebrate these skills. And there's something really interesting. I went really deep into, and I see it on your Instagram profile too. Like we share this same passion where like I went really, really deep. I thought I was going to own restaurants and teach culinary arts like for my entire life. Like I gave everything I had. I would literally go to work and I would get up at either 2:30 or 3:30 a.m. to get to the restaurant by 5:30 or 6 a.m. And then I would work, and sometimes I would get home at like midnight, or I'd have to sleep at the restaurant or sleep in the city because I would teach classes with Chef Peter Burley, who was the head chef at Angelica Kitchen at the time. And then I would take all the money I earned and I would go buy food with it, and I would go test recipes at home. Like I was consumed by it. Like there's something about culinary arts that is not only therapeutic and wonderful to cook and just cook. And like, I love baking now. I haven't eaten baked food for 20 plus years, but like, I just love doing it. And there's something inside of us that we like to tinker and play and be alchemists and create these things and then experience it. So I'm just like, why can't we have both? Like, you know, we kind of went a little bit overboard and we went deep into the extreme processing and the extreme cooking, denaturing of everything. And I'm like, but there's a place in the middle where we can enjoy all of these things and be like super healthy and get tons of value from it, you know?
Yeah, you can enjoy the food and like it can also make you feel good. Like both can be true. And I do eat cooked foods, and like, you know, I'm not a raw, like I do raw before cooked, obviously, but I don't you know, I'm not like a raw food strict person about that. Like that's not my thing. I enjoy food, and I haven't had a day where I haven't food combined in 6 years, and that's like, but I'm enjoying everything I'm eating, you know? And it's like, and it's fun to experiment. It also like gets you, it's so funny, like it also gets you in a place of like being able to like get more creative if you think about it. Cause people, you know, you freak out. I used to love sushi. Like sushi was my thing. Like I was so pissed, honestly. I was like, oh, like now I can't have like rice over fish. Like, what the hell? You know? And like now I'm vegan also, but like, so that was like a bummer. But then I that's the thing too. When I talk to like people I work with, they're like, it's always the sushi. And I have to tell them, because I'm like protein. When I explain the principles to them, I'm like, sushi. Like, you know, that's the example of the starch and the protein. And especially in New York. And they're like, oh, like, I don't think I can do that. You don't think you can. I mean, you don't think you can, but you're not thinking creatively, but I don't blame you. Like, it takes a second to think creatively too, you know?
One of the reasons this works, I think, and the reason people, I think, struggle with it is because I think recently normalizing healthy ingredients has like had its moment, right? So people kind of get that, you know what I mean? Like, people know, they might know what quinoa is, they know more about organics and the appeal coatings and GMO, and like so that's kind of like in the vernacular, like they kind of understand a little more. The food combining stuff's a little bit counterintuitive because it goes against everything that we've ever experienced with food growing up and in our food cultures. But the reason there's a system that works for us, I'm just going to say this for the benefit of the listeners that might not understand it, and I'll probably do a little bit on this in the intro as well when I film that later. But the reason this works is because it's, even though we're eating, it's allowing us to eat modern farmed foods that don't exist in nature, in a kitchen that didn't exist in nature, and enjoy that whole process and remain healthy by replicating the simplicity of the way the food enters the body, gets digested and metabolized. So that's what these little rules on food combining are. It's like they take the complexity out of everything. So when you're eating a properly combined meal, you are, you know, you're enjoying that food, but your body's not having to put massive amounts of effort and energy into that meal, taking everything away like we see typically on Thanksgiving feasts. You know, it's not just the volume of food people eat, it's all these insane combinations of fats and proteins and starches and sugars and everything just bubbling away in the cauldron of the belly while people pass out belching in front of football. You know, it's like, but that's what that's what a lot of people experience on a daily basis too. It's not just Thanksgiving, it's just the one that's most memorable, but people falling asleep. I used to eat, God, I was like 13 or 14 working one of my first jobs in I worked in one of the green, some, a place called the Green Belt in Staten Island, New York, and I would like shovel wood chips and, you know, do, it was like a conservation job for young kids. And I was working there, and we used to eat these, we used to go to the deli, and I would get, like these, I don't know, like, turkey and mayo kind of hero things or whatever. And I would just eat like a half of this sandwich, and I would be passed out in a wheelbarrow, like exhausted after eating this thing. And, you know, I'm still a kid. Like, I should have all the energy in the world, but that complexity just drops us down. So, yeah, we're not looking to do that when we eat.
I used to order the same thing at Subway when I was younger.
They dialed it in. I walk past, I don't see them out here where I live now, but in New York, I'd just be walking down the street and I would smell that and go, what is that?
What's up with that? How are they able, that's another conversation. I'm like, how is like a one thing, even like Dig, like, do you know Dig in New York, like the chain, like Dig In?
I know the name. I don't think I've ever been in one.
It's so weird. There's certain restaurants that have like a chokehold on the block, like the smell is so crazy. Subway is like definitely one of those. Dig, like, you know that you're near a Dig if within like a 2-block radius. It's the weirdest thing ever.
I believe it's intentional. They pump, if you walk in front of a Subway, they're pumping out their ovens and everything out onto the street, onto the front. Now, I know you have to vent, you know, in the kitchen you have to vent all your stuff, but most of them send it up the building and out through the top. And I think Subway intentionally pops it out onto the street because you'll get some warm air if it's cold in the winter and walking through. And yeah, that stuff's hit me and I'm like, wow. It's their yoga mat bread.
You mean just that it like has the, I know what you're saying. Like, it's just, it literally looks like bumpy. It's bumpy, right?
Well, no, it had yoga mat material in it.
No.
Because
it's a little bit
bumpy. It kind of looks like a bumpy like yoga mat on the bottom because I guess the screens that they probably just put these loaves between these screens and grill them or bake them or whatever. No, they found it had, I don't remember, was it TBHQ or something? It had some compound that they used to make yoga mats was in the bread at Starbucks, and not illegally. It's not like they were just sticking it in there and not telling anybody. Like, that was one of the ingredients, one of the food fillers that they were using. So it's, yeah, it takes processed food to a new level. But I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No. I know, like, ew, that's a fun fact. So that's really gross.
Can you tell me about now the food culture and the wellness culture in New York City? Because I've only been, you know, after the I was there. I did some, like, it was just great. It was like everything was finally coming together. And I was, I used to go back there like 3-4 times a year for weeks at a time, sometimes a month, sometimes 6 weeks, after I moved to Oregon. And then I was on my last trip there. A great family trip. Did, you know, took my wife to Broadway shows. And then we left New York. I had all these things recorded, and we went on a quick little trip to Hawaii. And then in the airport, they were talking about how the first cases of COVID hit New York. And I was like, oh, this is going to be interesting. And then indeed it was interesting. And I never went back except for when we were recording this, but I was telling you, I went to my cousin Vinny's wedding, and I was there for a week. But a lot's changed in New York, and it's always been really interesting to me because, I mean, yeah, I'm from there, like born and raised there, and there's this amazing culture of natural living. There's the Park Slope Food Co-op. There was Angelica Kitchen. There was Pure Food and Wine. There were the early raw food restaurants. There was Temple in the Village. There was community gardens. There's all the things that happen even on like the higher end level at like, what was Donna Karan's space called again? I've spoken there. I can't remember what it's called. She had a space that was like a wellness space, Zen something. I don't know. You know, it was like one of those things. So even on that level, of course, in like fashion and things, like there's, you know, I mean, you have Shivananda Yoga. You have like, we had iconic small health food stores. We had the Natural Gourmet Institute for Food and Health. Like, so in this filthy city concerned with money and carelessness and indulgence, you know, there's at the same time, there's this balance of this incredible, incredible, like holistic wellness culture. And so much of it has changed. And I've not been there for a while. So I'm trying to like, I went there. And to be honest, when I went there in January last year, it was a little sad. Like when I saw Gil, even, I hadn't seen him for years because, you know, I'd moved away. And you know, we didn't always see each other a lot in the city anyway, because we're always in the treatment room, both of us. And, you know, I saw Gil, and he looked like Gil and my friend Dagger, who owned High Vibe, which also just closed recently. When I saw them, they looked like people that you ever see those pictures where they show like the young, you know, teenager or 20 something that went into like a historic war, and then a picture of them like 2 years later and they look like they're 50 years older. You know, like everybody looked really haggard and beat up. And I imagine that's because of everything that's gone on over the past, throughout the pandemic in New York, with all the financial trauma and stress and the crime and everything. But the holistic wellness space changed a lot as well.
I, if anything, what I've seen more of, like opening up, and what bums me out, I think it kind of it taps back into the thing where I wasted so much time and money trying to figure out what was wrong with my gut. And so this is why these places bum me out, is like these places like called like Clean Market, and then like a detox sort of a place. They're called like Detox whatever, and like they're selling, there's a lot of that, and they're just selling a bunch of supplements. There's a lot of like woo-woo in a bad way, I think, like sort of like products, like, and that bums me out. I've seen a bunch of those. There is a place called, and like there's a lot of places too that like sell these things, but then also do have really good treatments, like Clean Market, by the way. Like I'm talking about all of the products and stuff they're selling. However, they do, I like a lymphatic drainage massage. I think there's something to it. They have that, and I've gotten one there, and it was great. It was actually a good one.
What is it? Do they sell food? Because they do lymphatic drainage, but they have the name Clean Market.
So they sell like a lot of different, like they do sell some foods, like in foods that I like. I'm pretty sure they have like some tahini brands that I like. I don't buy my food there because it's in like, it's not even near me at all. I believe like packaged goods, like CPG, you know, but nothing like fresh and ready to go, as far as I might be wrong, but they do have like, or, and also like their Upper East Side location like has a good infrared sauna. You know what I mean? So like there's a lot of these places that have opened up. Another one called The Well, which is in Flatiron. Like a lot of places that are like not, I'm not like totally, and this is like a lot to do with like the holistic wellness space, like that we talk, you know, we were talking about before we were recording, and we're just talking about talking together. You know, just like a lot of places that like, it's not that they're bad because they're, you know, I think there's some good to them, but they're also like, it's a lot of monetization, a lot of selling products, a lot of selling supplements, a lot of selling like de-bloating stuff and like a pill that will, you know what I mean? It's, I feel like a lot of these places are selling a lot of fluff, but also they do have good to them. You just have to have your like the right like blinders on to know what you're looking for, and that's kind of the thing. So it's tricky for me to say what's good and what's bad here. I mean, what's bad, what I don't like, I don't like love like juice press, like I don't, you know what I mean, because I don't actually like sure, like if we, you know, like I don't think that their juice is what, you know, it's not like a cold pressed juice made right in front of you and everything, you know what I mean.
They sunk that place into the ground. That place started out really good.
Did it?
Oh, yeah. It was a one-shop juice shop owned by Marcus down in the East Village. And then he expanded. And he would constantly bump heads with his billionaire investor partners about, you know, because Marcus has a very, you know, he has a very idealistic way of trying to create this food culture. And he would bump heads. He would talk to me about it sometimes. And he'd say, yeah, he's like, I'm trying to like educate them politely and kindly and warmly about like, you know, why we can't just make these bottom line decisions to reduce costs when the quality's going to suffer, you know. But of course, his business partners didn't understand that. Anyway, he got bought out and he's out of that place. And as soon as that happened, everything just tanked. Everything just tanked. Yeah, I mean, the quality tanked. I don't know. I'm sure as a business, they're probably just doing fine. But yeah, but like for someone like you or I, or someone with a very just sort of that has discernment and a deeper understanding of food quality. Yeah, like they tanked.
But there are good places. Even what's it called? Higher Dose. Sure. Like the saunas, that's a good sauna. It's pricey. that's the kind of the problem too with like some of these things. Like, you know, it's like it's expensive. Like it's expensive to want to do the healthy thing.
That's what I love about cold showers and breath work and things like that, because they're free. You know, I mean, sometimes, especially in New York, I mean, the, you know, I just, you know, having operated a business in New York, I mean, just to have the colonic studio with infrared saunas, with cryotherapy, like our operational budget monthly just to break even was like $35,000+ depending on the month, just to break even. So like, obviously we're not going to be an affordable place to come to. Do you know what I mean? Like that's just cost of living there. It's unreal the privilege of being healthy in New York costs.
As a business owner, by the way, like I get it. Like for, like as a, you know what I mean? Like I, like my product, like, and I will say like, it's a premium service, my service, like it is, but it's because you are getting high quality. And I'll say like, my prices are a little pricey. Yeah. Like we're in New York and like I can say those things while also admitting like it is pricey, but also the cost of being health, of having a healthier lifestyle is, it can be pricier when you're in New York.
Well, anybody wanting catered food, by the way, I remember being a chef and having some really wealthy clients ask me if I could, basically they wanted what you do. Right. But no, but now we're talking 15, 20 years ago. So like you, there was nobody doing anything like that. There was health food restaurants, but still they were like, and I was working as a colon hydrotherapist, and that's how they knew me. And my time as a chef and a therapist kind of overlapped, which was a little weird. I literally used to see people. I used to watch food pass through my tube on the colonic table that I had made the previous day in a restaurant. Like that was a very weird experience. The community was small and cozy. Anyway, my time overlapped and they said, I want you to, you know, do this, cook for me like 3 times a week or whatever. And then I would give them a price and they'd be like, oh, that's way too expensive. And I'm like, you want an individual to spend their day cooking for you? Like if you don't have money for that, then you need to go to the store and make your own food. Like, what are we talking about?
That's at a price. Like, it's a luxury service. Like,
yeah, it's like I want someone to bathe me or something. Like, you know, it's like you want someone to be there and serve you. Like, what? Like, of course you got to pay for that. You crazy? So your clients, when they come to you, like, what are they looking for? Like, who's coming to you and doing this? Because it's very specific type of, meals that you're providing. Like, who's coming up and asking for this?
So it's funny. So I have these are individuals who, the best way to describe them, it are people who have an interest in health. They have an interest in health. They have gut health. My thing is I try to explain that it's for gut health and digestion. That's the most basic terms I could put it to anybody, like from a marketing perspective of my own, you know, because I'm a business. And then I explain food combining. And then once I explain it to anybody, and I'm sure you obviously, you know, get this, like, then they're like, oh, that makes sense. So, like, it's like that sort of a thing. But it's people who have, like, basically, like, have – The money have wasted their time. I mean, I guess wasted their time and money on like trying to do the right things. And they want to feel better and they want to do better. And they see like, you know, things that I post, and I post mostly about like, yes, I have recipes and food and like, you know, you can eat with your eyes on my Instagram page. But also, I think that I also do try to post a lot about I try to be educational or provide education as much as I can, because I think it's important as well. And I think that speaks to people just to hear like, hey, like food is medicine. And that's literally on my website, but that's the truth, to me. And like to explain that to people and just to say like, you know, like you don't need to do what you think, you know, you don't have to do the fad diet or the big reset or the this or the that. Like it's the daily cleansing like activities is one thing I always like, I really like and I agree with, and I think that that's like one thing just to even get people into the, you know, the cleansing life that we, you know, that we're in. But like also to say like, you know, I think these are people that really want to do the right thing and they want to do, you know what I mean, like, and they're not at their last resort, but I have repeat like loyal people who come back to me because I literally have testimonials of people who are like, wait, I feel great. Like it was so delicious and I feel great. And that's like, I'm like, hell yeah. That's like my happiest text. Cause I always check in with my customers or my clients or whoever. But those are the people that come to me, people who have a general interest in health, don't know what to do, are sick of trying, like, you know, basically like not getting enough bang for their buck, and that's the way they feel, or portion size or what have you. And they want something, they'll spend money on something that's worth it, that's a high quality known thing. And at this point, I've also, honestly, like the way I even got started was I was sending my food to influencers. Like that's what I did. That's really how I got my name out there. But only ones that were like aligned, who I felt were aligned with like what I was, you know, with what I was doing, or like my philosophy or my mission. And that worked. And that was also in 2019, by the way. Now today, everyone's an influencer.
Isn't it interesting how everyone's an influencer today? It's wonderful because of the opportunity it affords everyone who wants to build their practice or their business or whatever. But at the same time, there's an absurdity to all of it.
It's such main character energy, and it's very it's very tough. It's very tough to be around. And that's what I like. And like, I think it's a thing too with like both, I guess, like food combining and transcendental meditation, which are the two things that like I mentioned to you previously, like changed my life. Like I cut through the BS so much more, and I just feel like I'm like, all right, like, you know what I mean? Like I like to keep it real. Like I'm like, you know, because like of all the things that like, you know what I mean? Because of all the things I tried, because of especially the social media of it all, like then I'm like, okay, that's an ad. Like, and then that's what I come across, by the way, to answer your actual first question. of the, when we started recording.
Let's bring it back around to that. Yeah.
Let's do it. Like, it's ads. It's like straight up ads and like, or like influencers like promoting something that looks, you know, it looks like a normal post, but then you see it says like paid, hashtag paid or sponsorship, whatever you're supposed to write. Like, and it's just like, oh, I'm like, not again, you know, like it's exhausting. It's really, really exhausting.
And we're all doing it to each other. We're all doing it to each other. We've been fed this story, and the twisted part is, yes, it's true, and it creates opportunity, and that's, I mean, if we look at our own behaviors, where's the attention? The attention's on the phone, the attention's on the monitor, whatever, however people are consuming these things, and we're watching each other. And in order to be relevant, like, you have to be there. Like, otherwise, you know, there's very rare exception. There's the Gil Jacobs of the world, people that, you know, are just legends that got their start 40 years ago that are all word of mouth with, I mean, Gil doesn't, I think he has an answering machine, but like, that's it. Like, you know, no website, no computers, no credit cards, no nothing, you know, other than people like me or you or Nicole or whatever, you know, maybe talking about him, featuring him. So there, that's 1% of the people these days that are just, you know, grandfathered into to getting attention because of who they are. Everyone else, we need to be there. And it's really, and to watch the human behavior around this is really interesting because we just fall right into it. And I think at first it was fun. I used to love doing content and stories and things like that. And then at some point it became essential. It became urgent. It became overwhelming. It became demanding. It demanded that you do it. Otherwise, you would basically fall out of existence when it came to whatever you were trying to do. And I don't mean people that are posting pictures of their kids and stuff, although if you don't do that, then your friends and family probably won't see it either. But what I'm talking about is from a practitioner, product, food service, restaurant, hairstylist, like whatever your passion is, if you're not on there, you're basically just, you know, you're out of the bubble and nobody's looking outside of the bubble. And so we bought this idea that like, we immediately open that thing up. We start scrolling and we're like deep. Even somebody that has the perspective on knowing that it's an addiction. Like I look at my wife's behavior and my behavior and I think of our younger kids and I go, wow, like this is interesting. Like we're kind of addicted to our phones, even though we consciously battle it every day. Could you imagine not having the perspective and not having the discipline and the awareness around that? And then there's this idea like that you have to be performing. Like we're always making these stupid reels all the time.
I'm dying because that's so true. Because like I said that last week to a friend, right? And like I've also not been posting reels lately or posting. I post in my story because I like, again, the reel, the whatever. I'm like, this is what I'm really doing. This is what I like. This is what, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I've been focusing more on. So it's funny you say that because I literally said to my friend last week, I was like, oh, I 2 weeks ago, I'm like, I meant to post this thing. And then I was like, I literally was like, Alana, like, by the way, I don't, like, not one person is sitting on the edge of their seat being like, where is this reel from Combined by a Lot? Like nobody actually, like nobody cares. Like, we're so up our own whatever. Like I'm like, who cares? Like yeah. It doesn't, yeah. It is good to be humbled a bit by something like that. And I think every person needs to be slightly humbled and like realize that like, you know, like, we're all doing, and I think people, they know it, but they also don't, like, you, like we're saying, literally, like, it's just, you know it, but you can't get out of it, and it's, like, a weird thing, so actually, my, like, algorithm even was, gosh, what was it, and by the way, I like TikTok, I like it because it's funny, I have posted on it a few times, I, like, laugh at, I think Gen Z is pretty funny, I'm not gonna lie, like, some things they do are, make me laugh.
I love it so much, I can't use it.
Good. I don't have that. So I'm on TikTok and my algorithm is actually all like, I'm a content manager and here's what you should be doing in 2024. If your content, that's my algorithm, by the way, because I'm like, it's like, we're all so like upper, like we're, that's the thing. It's such a shame. And I'm like, God, get me out of here. Like, it's really like, but I've noticed actually, this is a weird one. in the past couple weeks, and I don't know if it's because it's January either. Like, again, like, I've been having more business success in the past, like, few weeks, and I haven't posted a reel. And I'm like, that, or a post in general. And I'm like, that's interesting. I'm like, that's, and I've been really thinking about that one a lot. Cause I'm like, I love that I'm not paying attention to it. I care less about it. And therefore, I'm, you know, think things are better. Do you think that's weird or does that make sense?
I've experienced that myself. I started to do some paid ads, not sponsored posts or anything, but like, or boosted posts, but like some paid ads at one point. And I noticed sales just plummeted for some reason when I was paying money to do this. I don't know why. I mean, it's not like it didn't make any sense, the connection. And I was like, God damn. I was like, here I am spending money. Nothing's coming back. And then I was like, let me pause these ads. As soon as I paused the ads, all of a sudden sales started going up. And I was just like, I don't know what the message is here.
Nobody wants to see an ad, by the way.
Yeah. Nobody wants to see it. Because
that's really it. Nobody, they're like, oh, they're like if I, I'm being completely honest with you. If I see like an ad, like I'm either like, oh, it's like a big company who just like does that, whatever, you know what I mean? Or I'm like, or if it's an influencer who's like doing it, I'm like, ooh, something's not working. So now they're paying for an ad. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, but that's where my brain's going. I don't know about everyone else. But like, it's weird. It's so weird. It's like icky and weird.
I get taken by like one out of every 1,000 ads I see. And then I'll go, oh, I need this for my kid. And interestingly enough, like social media, I forgot what it was, but it's thousands of points of data they take off of one account to understand your behaviors. And one simple one is they know I'm married to my wife. And they know when she's looking for stuff to send the ads to me. And our accounts aren't, we don't share accounts. We're completely separate. I started mine, you know, at different places and times, but they know from our messaging behaviors and our sharing and our, and probably even more now with when we actually, yeah, do we do that? We might share some posts or whatever, collaborate or whatever, but very little of that, but like it knows. And so suddenly I'll be like, were you looking at some kids, whatever? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, I got the ad for it. And it's just like, whoa. The manipulation. And I want it to work. I'm like, fine, just make sure it works. Like, just stop sending me goofy stuff.
Well, that sucks that you watched the carnivore diet that one time.
It's because people send me things. And I was a little bit fascinated by it. And I needed to understand it a little bit because there's a reason why it works short term for people. And also, I kind of got caught up a little bit in that Liver King drama. I don't know if you know who he is, but...
No.
Oh, Liver King. He's a guy that just eats... He was a guy that lied about being on... performance enhancing drugs, and but you look at him and you go, there's no way he's not. I mean, he's this beast of a man, and he eats like raw testicles and eyeballs and livers and meat and all this stuff, right? And very wealthy guy too, so his whole social media platform is a performance. And then he got caught taking the performance enhancing drugs, and he had to admit that he did, but he had lied. And the reason people kind of held him accountable to that, because he was leading all these young people into thinking if they ate testicles and livers that they'd be able to achieve that physique. Anybody older would just be like, this is ridiculous. Or anybody that was already some type of trainer or something would go, nope, you're on steroids, absolutely. But you know, but when he first started gaining his popularity, everybody sent me his stuff, you know. And I don't know why. They think I'm going to have some big reaction to it. And I'm like, this shit's been going on since before the internet. Like when I first got into this, the only thing is all this stuff would happen, these differing ideas and these bumping of heads on nutritional philosophy, it would just happen on the bookshelf of Barnes & Noble. But that's where it would happen. It's just that now we just, you know, we have this feed coming at us all the time. So we go, oh, what do you think of this person? This person said this. They've always said it. They're different people, but they've always said it. So it's kind of like, for me, I kind of don't get to, there's not much of a reaction I can really give people on those things.
No, and that makes sense. And also it's like, it's funny, the one, I guess, something similar that I guess I do, I am seeing like a ton of is like, you know, there was such a thing about veganism, right? And like everyone being vegan, and now it's like gone the opposite. It's like 2024 is all about protein. They're actually, I don't know if you, I don't read the New York Times. Times, I'll be honest, but I listen to podcasts and they will talk about articles in the New York Times. And they gave like a 2024 trend report. There's two actually really interesting things. I'm curious what you think. One was like protein. Like it's all about protein, the protein craze. Like we're leaning. And by the way, that makes sense. Like if anyone who asks me any questions or they're like, well, how do you get your protein as like a vegan? And, you know, and I'm sure you get that question a million times too. Like just like people being like, well, because they count the protein and stuff, right? People aren't tapping into how they feel. You know, after they eat a certain thing, they're just like, okay, what about like counting my proteins? So I guess like, you know, that's one big craze. Another one is, they're calling it the snack craze. So instead of a meal is like, you know, they're saying it's like all about snacks this year. And by the way, obviously you have to think about like who's paying for this, like, for this data or whatever, but like, it was really interesting. It was a study by Whole Foods Market. And they came out with it and they were like, it's all about snacks. It was funny because there's also, I don't know. So here's another part of my algorithm. I don't know if have you ever heard of girl dinner?
No, that's not part of my algorithm.
Okay. So I'll tell you about this. Girl dinner, they're calling it, is so like, how do I describe this? The best way to describe it is like, so dudes, if a dude is alone eating dinner, a single guy, like hetero, whatever, you know, whatever, like, and his whole thing was like, okay, he's gonna have the meat, the rice, the veggie, he's good. Like very simple, like that's like the new caveman like thing, where like girls are like, oh, like, I have this in the fridge. I guess I'll have, like, some chips with, like, this dip, like, and, like, you know, I'll just have, like, I made, like there's a random, like, baba ganoush in the fridge. Like, I'll eat that with my, like, siete tortilla chips. By the way, I do that sometimes. And, like, and then I'll have, like, this veggie. Like, just we'll throw a bunch of, like, really random things that don't totally make sense on a plate. And not about, it's nothing to do with food combining. It's just literally called girl dinner because like, it's just not as like thought out as like a guy who's like, okay, like meat, potato, veggie. Like it's like girls who are like, whatever.
It's like foraging in your own house. It's foraging in your own pantry and refrigerator. Yeah.
Literally. So it's so funny. So they've been calling it on TikTok girl dinner. It makes me laugh. It's just because it's like, that is so stupid, but like but basically I think that's where the snack thing comes from, where like all of a sudden now they're like the snack craze, amongst other things, like they're like the snack craze and the protein craze, which by the way are, I guess that's guy dinner and girl dinner. I don't know.
This is what I love about the cleansing life and the mastery over food and addiction. You know, it's just like there's so much conspiring behind the scenes in the, and I've been in these rooms, boardroom type places, you know, fluorescent lights where people are literally trying to contrive and manipulate the next food product and how they're going to sell it, you know. And I've done this in the natural foods world when I've developed products for different companies, listened to a lot of these people talk, and it's nauseating, you know. So like when you think about like, you know, Whole Foods, like they didn't just decide to do a study on snacks. Like there's a whole reason why they did that. And, you know, they wanted media coverage on it. They wanted to, we can literally, the things that we all get wrapped up in can literally be just contrived and created behind the scenes. And I love the freedom of it. Like, you know, like I love that I can walk into a Whole Foods and realize that 97% of what's inside of it isn't food. You know, where other people, they can't do that. They don't know how to make those decisions. They walk in and they go, oh, it's Whole Foods. Okay, good. This must be healthy, right?
There's so much fluff and stuff that people are consuming literally, and this is all in content. And it's unfortunate, and we follow too many what I – no, you're what I eat in the day. I'll back you, and I will say that's a good what I eat in the day. I will say that it's a good series to listen to. But there are a lot of people that you look at and like, you know, people that I can say people I like, you know, and I don't necessarily think people should eat like them or could eat like them, and I don't think it's realistic. And like,
do you remember? You know what Moon Juice is? It was like a big. It was like the juice press of Los Angeles. I don't know if they had as many locations as Juice Press, but they were a very popular juice place. I went there one or two times. And the owner of that and the founder of that that juice bar, because it was very, it was, you know, it had like food philosophy behind it, you know. They did like a what I eat in a day thing in some magazine, you know, some fancy ass magazine. And it totaled, it was like a $1,200 day. It was absurd, the amount of supplements and tinctures and tonics and all this shit and juices and things. And like 90% of it wasn't like any food that appears in nature. Not that it was bad. As we know, you know, look, there's algaes and things that we eat that like, yeah, they don't exist in nature, but, or they do exist in nature, but they're not like, you know, they're not apples, right? Like it's not like part of a normal food supply. Like we know they're good, but anybody that's like living on 90% superfoods and stuff, it's like, what a strange departure from what the natural world is, right? But people were making memes about it. Like it was hysterical. The diet was absurd. It was this absurd, elitist, expensive health food diet that can't exist anywhere outside of New York and LA. And it was just, and I thought it was so funny.
That is really funny. I have to send you on the side this TikTok. Oh, sorry, that means you're gonna have to go on TikTok. There is the funniest what I ate on my wedding day. This one girl who's like a health girl. I don't follow her, by the way. I couldn't even say her name. I don't remember, but I saved it because I was laughing. And I'm like, it was like what I ate on my wedding day and like what I served. And it's literally all like health foods. And she's like, but it's a lot of it. It's like really dense. Like it was the dense. I was like, holy shit. I'm like, girl, I'm like, you must be like, no offense. Like these are things that I'm like, you either are like running to the bathroom or like not. Like it was the craziest what I eat in a day I've ever seen. I have to send it to you. It's so absurd. And I'm almost like, was this promo like to help like pay for the wedding? Like there's so much weird stuff. It was super, you gotta see it.
One of the challenges with eating clean these days is people are newly into it. And when we newly get into eating clean food, we're still trying to fill those pleasure centers. And that might be a full belly, or that might be the stimulation of the fat and the sugar, or like whatever it is that we got from the processed food. Sorry, Riverside is telling me to do something. It's telling me to close other Riverside browsers. I don't have one open. We'll just get rid of that. But yeah, so one of the main issues is that people are newbies. They haven't, they're trying to replace the feelings, sensations that they get with healthy food that they got from the stimulating processed heavier foods. And doing that creates a lot of overeating. I massively overate, but I went from 40 ounces cigarettes, McDonald's, pizza into like chickpeas and rice. And like, so of course I was eating tons. I was a young guy and, you know, I was eating probably five times as much food, more food than I eat today, you know? And that's that. And I see a lot of people doing that. So you see these what I eat in a day videos and people are like, this is what I eat in a day as a raw vegan now for 3 years. And I'm like, okay, so they're new into it. And I can't believe the amounts of food that they're eating. And they're like, first I start the day with orange juice. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then it's like, and then boom, boom, boom. Then lunch starts and they've had like four fruit meals and salads. And it's just like, wow, you're hungry all the time. I'm
like, well, it's also like what they don't tell you too, which is like, by the way, if you're eating that much fruit, like you need to go, like you need to get a colonic. Like you need to like, that's the other part of it too. That's like, you gotta like, there's, it's not just what you eat. Like to me, like, yeah, food is medicine, but like always put out there, like what else is going on? Like you gotta say like, you know what I mean? If you gotta say like what other things are supplementing that, like, you know, in your daily activity, like there, it can't simply be what you're eating in a day.
A lot of the time people are eating as well. Like when you see what I eat in a day, they're eating their stress and their worry and their fear and their insecurity and all that stuff. You know, the food just makes us, it can make us feel good until it doesn't. I've seen that a lot. I've worked with a lot of women that are like business owners, not in relationships, businesses that have heavy demand and stress. like, you know, yoga studio owner or something, where like they're just responsible for everything, and it was their vision and their dream and their little baby, and they loved it, and they have nothing else going on in their life, and they find themselves at the end of the night eating like three or four dinners, you know. And I'm like, and there's a fulfillment situation going on there too, which can be tricky business when it comes to working with clients.
I work mostly with women too, so I get more like snackers, like people who are like, well, what do you do for like, what should I do for a snack, or what should I do? So the emotional component of that too, you know, like the snacking, they're like, okay, but what about like a treat? Like, I love a treat. And I'm like, it is the emotional component of it all, you know, like it's like we need, like, as much as we need like exercise, we also need like emotional exercise and like working the brain. And like, that's an important thing that I think, it comes with food combining. It just does. Like, your brain chemistry literally changes with your body. And that's something that, like, you know, it is hard to explain to somebody, especially, you know, a client or something. So you really have to be in the right place, and you have to, if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. Which is like, no kidding, but it's like you gotta feel it. So it's like, it's, that's why it's like, it's worth trying. Like, try it for 3 days. Like, don't ever overcommit to. And that's why I don't like the reset that we, you know, initially kind of, you know, talked about, like, when we talked about talking, like, you know, that's why I don't like those, because it's like, you know, you don't, it's not realistic, it's not sustainable. And you really, you have to, like, you're going to feel a change, but then the pleasure center is going to come back in, or you're going to see, you know, you're going to see the person on Instagram that you're going to be like, I'm going to do that. And then all of a sudden you're like, just kidding. Like, you're like, I actually want that loaded oatmeal, whatever, you know, in the morning. Like, it's like, it doesn't, it's a weird, we live in a very weird world where people are just so addicted to food, social media, wanting to feel good, not really doing anything about it, a quick fix, like all these things. And it's like, it's a bummer to see. But that's also, by the way, how you know someone's not your client, for me at least.
More often than not, recently, I have rejected certain clients, and I never did that for decades. And I've done that a bit here at the studio, and I've had to do that on social media, where I always want to make sure before someone books, like, if somebody, I keep my schedule private mostly for individual coaching sessions, and I do it by request only. And so when people make the request, I'm like, okay, if we're going to sit down and do this and you're going to take the time with this, I need to make sure I can help you, you know? So I always do a couple little questions, usually on a DM, and I just, you know, what are your goals here and there? And with some of the things that come back to me, a lot of the time I'm like, yeah, I don't think I'm the person you think I am. You know, it's usually people that are, they want me to problem solve how they can win a war against their body. And I'm like, that's not what I do. I don't do that at all. I was like, we're never even going to look at your weight. And a lot of times they'll tell me things like, oh, I need to lose this weight. And I'm like, oh, okay, this person's probably pretty, maybe they've had a toxic past. Let's take a look. Boom. And I see that you can just tell from the first three pictures in the Instagram profile, A, you don't need to lose weight. B, it looks like that you have been dabbling and moving in and out of some form of health food anyway for the past whatever. So I'm like, you know, that's someone that's basically looking to wage a war against their body, and they're looking for an ally in that. And I'm like, I'm not an ally in that. Absolutely not. Which is a big difference between the person that's just like, oh man, you know, I, you know, just went through the hardest time, and I just went right into food, and they are 50 pounds overweight, and they're like, I just got to get my life together for my kid or whatever. It's like, that's exciting. Like, yes, that's worth the time. That's worthy of deep tissue cleansing. We're not sitting here micromanaging pounds or, like, you know, troubleshooting your bloat for 50 minutes. You know, it's like that stuff. It's like, I have no interest in that.
I'm happy that there's more real, honest conversation being had. That's the good, by the way, about social media, is I think we are having actual, real, good conversation, especially around disordered eating.
When we come from a food culture that doesn't support the human body, then we're, I mean, everybody on some level has some type of disordered eating. Either you just completely surrender to it and let your body just get toxic and go to shit, or you battle with it, trying to work within that culture, and you go, oh, well, maybe if I eat less of it, like the whole Weight Watchers thing. I remember my family did some Weight Watchers stuff back in the mid-80s, you know? And like, I remember I would go to these meetings with them and I'd be playing off on the side with some other little kids. You know, I didn't know. It was a new thing at the time. So, and you know, what was Weight Watchers? It was like all these boxes of like, oh, it's a hamburger, but it has less calories. Like it's trying to work within the system of poison food, you know? So in a way, the whole thing is disordered, you know? It's not just the traditional disordered eating that we tend to think about, the ones that we've created diagnoses for and treatments for, but the whole culture is disordered in that way. So when we can get into natural living and let the body really just steer the ship and not get, you know, beat down by the existing food culture, like that's the win right there.
Totally. It's like, and it's just doing the little, like, you know, like the little things that make the biggest difference, and like changing like just little habits. And like, that's another thing too, is like, if I work with someone, it's like, we're changing your lifestyle, but it works with, you can make it work with your life. Like if that makes sense, like you can go to work and like sit in an office and do food combining and do the little things that will make you feel good. You can have, I always say, like for me, like I wake up in the morning, I have hot water and lemon. I have a juice. I make it, but like if we're in New York City, like there's a lot of really great reputable like juice spots like to go to, like that are just, you know, locally, like mom and pop, like that exists like in Soho. Like you don't have to, you can be anywhere in the city and you can find something, right? Or at least have a smoothie. If you can't have that, have a smoothie. Have fruit. Like that's another thing too. It's like, you know, there are ways to do the things, right? And like to do all the things that are just gonna lead you to more success and make your body feel better. And it's not all about taking supplements and or whatever. Like it's not like that's so not the answer. And like it bums me out that that's the quick fix of it all. And I think that I think that we're moving a little bit past it. I think people are starting to kind of see, at least from my purview, and by the way, like these are people like closer to like us, like in this space, in a wellness space, who are like, you know, actually home cooking and wanting to like, they put in the work essentially. But there's also, you know, but they, unfortunately, there are still like the supplements and stuff that still exist. And it's not that they don't pop up on my algorithm, because they do. And it's affiliate marketing and everything. One thing I do, I mean, there are supplements that are good, but there is so much that are still full of stuff. And like, I just think leaning into whole real foods, if I can get people to do that, that's the biggest win ever.
Where can people find you and where are you most present in regards to social media, where people can follow and hang out with you?
I'm most present on Instagram. I'm like in my DMs, people are I am most present there, like in my stories. You can see literally what I'm doing. I like posting places that I like, things that I'm eating, what I'm, you know, I do love posting recipes because I love to cook, and like showing people, again, like we talked about, that like high quality ingredients and good, yummy food can all be in the same universe. I also, you know, you can order my meals on my website. Weekly delivery. I have weekly meal delivery.
Local only, or you ship them?
No, local only. Even to Westchester, Long Island, and to, you know, Brooklyn, Astoria, Queen, you know, everywhere, all over here. Is where you can get my food. Yeah, vegan and non-vegan, but everything is perfectly food combined. And I say it's made for your most optimal digestion. And they all feel good, and I'm always so happy to hear how good people feel. That's like my most, and I'm a nurturer, caretaker at heart. Like I really am, and it's, I'm a Midwest person who just, I love to take care of the home. So I like to take care of other people. That's where this all really comes from. It's because I literally spent thousands of dollars, again, trying to figure out what was wrong with me. And I wasted a lot of time and money. And that's one of like my missions, honestly, and combined, is that I don't want to waste your time or money. And that's really the truth. Knowledge over products. That's really it. That's my mission right now. That's what I'm about. And that's why I wanted to talk to you.
That might be the title to this podcast. It might be knowledge over products or bitching about social media. I'm not really sure which one I'm going to choose, but because we did a bit of that too.
Maybe ask Instagram. See, that's the thing. Here's a good thing. Ask Instagram. Pick a title. Take little bits and say, pick a title. Should it be this or this?
It's a good idea. Well, thank you so much. I think we did well here.
I know. I could talk to you for forever.
Yeah, I appreciate you hanging out with me. And yeah, we'll do it again sometime.